This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Welcome back to the show today. We are joined by Moonstone Coaching and Consulting, and Sarah Reed is her name. She's the founder. We're excited today to talk about some executive coaching, career navigation, and so many of the benefits that come with that. So first and foremost, let me welcome Sarah to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Jill. Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, pleasure. You got great energy, looking beautiful, got great lighting. And I wonder how the weather is. You're in Wisconsin, right?
I'm in Wisconsin. Today, it's a little gloomy and it's about, 40 degrees. So, it might be 70 tomorrow. You never know. That's the weather this time of year. It goes up and down a lot.
I know we were like in the 20s this morning in New York, but like 80. Like
really?
What's going on?
Wow.
But it's a pleasure having you here. First and foremost, just give us a little overview as to the work you do. And then I want to dive into your deep background.
Sure. You bet. So I do coaching, and specifically, I focus mostly on career coaching, whether that be helping folks through transition, meaning that they're looking to change careers. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a small change from one organization to another, sticking in the same industry, or making a big pivot from, a 180 degree turn from being a teacher to working in marketing or being an executive in one space to another. So that's one phase of my business. The other phase is helping people just navigate their careers within, more like executive coaching, what people will probably know of that, and helping them manage through changes within an organization, how to navigate moving up the ladder or managing up. You often hear that phrase. And then kind of another bucket of people that I often work with and has kind of evolved in my business over the years is helping younger people. So I have had clients now that have hired me to help their children, right? So they're recent college
and
grads.
You don't look old enough. Wait, what?
Why, thank you. Oh, I love some good flattery. Thanks, Jill.
But it's true. My goodness. Okay. Well, we're going to get to your backstory. So maybe it'll make sense later when you tell me you graduated in 90 something.
I get the genes from my mother, bless her soul. So I help folks who are younger in their career, right? Because oftentimes they've left college and they're kind of lost as to what to do now, right? They have a degree and they didn't have a plan to be an accountant or a doctor that's very prescribed, and they're needing some assistance and some help. So that's kind of the big buckets in which I work, and I'm pretty holistic in my approach. It's why I have kind of a funky name for my business. I'm a little left to center. I like it that way. I don't believe that we walk into work one person and home another. So I approach my coaching practice that way.
Beautiful. All right. So hold on. Now we're going to get the backstory. So maybe I'll find out you're a little older than I expected. But tell me about yourself. I want to know the who, what, when, where, why. I want to know where you were born. How you got this interest in helping others.
Sure.
But give me your whole background. It's important to get to know the person that we're going to be working with, right?
You bet. So I was born and raised in the Milwaukee area. I'm basically in between Milwaukee and Madison, if those folks who are familiar with that area. And I've always been kind of known as the helper. I literally started from a very young age being the girl on the bus helping all of her friends, right? Like I was always the girl that came, was the one that said, hey, Sarah, what do you think I should do about this? Or, hey, what do you think about that? And can you help me with this? Or I'm fighting with so-and-so. I was always that person. So from a very young age, I was the coach, I was the counselor, I was the mediator. So that's kind of been in my blood for a really long time. And so as a result, I pursued a degree in psychology. I went to UW-Madison here in Wisconsin. And before I went off to college, actually, I needed a temporary job before I went off to school. This does make sense. I promise I'm not going to talk forever on this, but okay. I was 17 at the time. That's when I went off to college. I was I had a younger birthday, and I needed that temp job. And so I went to a local agency here and happened to interview with the owner, and she must've liked me because she hired me to work internally within their office. So at 17, I was working within a staffing firm that did temporary staffing and headhunting and things like that. And I got to learn about different industries and recruiting and hiring. And it was a real nice meld with my psychology degree. And so that's really what kind of got that start in down this path. And it's weaved and bobbed and weaved from there. But it's that's kind of the start and how I got on the career side. As far as kind of my personal life, I have a wonderful young daughter. Well, she's not so young anymore. She's 18. She's getting ready to go to college next year. So I'm getting ready for that transition, speaking of transitions, and a wonderful husband and a dog named Ozzy. And I feel very, very fortunate to be able to do work I love, right? I was in the corporate space for, after I did that temporary assignment, right? I did that for that work during college. I thought at the time I wanted to be a therapist. Okay. Because I have a psych degree. And I learned two things when I left college. I started working at Temple University in the psychology department, managing a research study there. And I learned the academic setting was not for me. There's not a lot of boundaries. It just was, after being in some corporate experiences, it wasn't the right setting for me. And at that point in time, this was literally 30 years ago. So that will help give you some math as to my age. It was before positive psychology was a component of therapy. It was before coaching was really a thing. And it was your traditional backwards looking healing sort of process, right? And I tend to be a more action oriented, forward looking person. And when I thought in my early 20s about going on to school and sitting there and doing that, I knew I could do it and that I had the gifts to do it. I just knew it wasn't probably the right thing for me and didn't align with how I operate as a person. So I knew I'm not going to go on to school. So I decided not to do that. And at that same time, my dad got sick. And so I wanted to move home because I was obviously in Philadelphia at that time, move home so I could be close to him. And that staffing firm I started in at 17 sucked me back in because that's what that business was. And I started working there and did direct hire, or like what people would think of as headhunting. And a company by the name of Baird, it's a financial services firm, like a Goldman Sachs on a smaller scale. And they were my biggest client. And I worked for them for a long time and they were a great organization, still have a lot of great contacts there. And they asked me to come on as a consultant for them. And I thought, I never picked HR as a career, but again, a nice parallel to psychology, and ended up working there for 14 years and led the talent acquisition of the hiring function there. So I have a lot of background within HR, and it was a great organization. They've been on the Fortune 100 best companies to work for list. And so I got to learn what a good culture is like and what a good leadership looks like and how a good company functions. And so what happened to me was I was in this great job in this great company, and hold on, please.
Sure.
But I found my job as I moved up the ladder got farther and farther removed from people, right? I was working on strategy and I was in meetings all the time. And what I really loved was the one-on-one work. And so Sunday nights rolled around and I found myself really grouchy. And I was grouchy with my husband and I was grouchy with my daughter. And it had nothing to do with them. It was about the fact that I just didn't like the work anymore. Loved the people, loved the company. It just wasn't the right fit for me any longer. And so that's when I decided to launch my coaching practice. And I've been doing it ever since. And it was based off of all those experiences since I was 17 that I do the work the way I do today. And I feel really grateful to be able to do what I love and help people in the process.
Beautiful. Wow. Thank you for sharing all of this. And
you are most welcome.
Wait, was it really your first boss out of college? This principal investigator who was he like your mentor?
She was my boss, right? She was my boss, right?
But she was also.
Yeah. So she was the principal investigator of the study. So this was like a national study with a lot of different sites, right? She was a professor and also managed this site of this research study. But she gave me probably some of the best advice in, she was all about delegating. She's like, Sarah, you got to delegate. You always got to delegate. And I'm like, 21 or 22 at the time, I think, maybe 23.
Yeah.
And my first manager job, and I was managing people all that were older than I was, right? They were like, the whole team was older. And it was, I don't know, 8 or 9 people. And it was really good advice because it was kind of built into me, right, from a really young age about the power of that, right? And the it's not about, and I think some people think that delegation is often a selfish thing, right? You're just being selfish by pushing work on others.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great benefits to it in helping other people learn, right? And giving them opportunities to understand how to do the work. And quite frankly, just being more efficient and utilizing everyone's skill set, right? am not the best at details. I am fully aware of this. So I always made sure I surrounded myself with people who could do that, right?
We all have our strengths and weaknesses.
Yep, absolutely. I had a Margaret when I was in corporate, and she was the best woman, and she color-coded things for me, and she made sure I stayed on track. And, you know, so things like that, like learning those things, it was really a big lesson for me and was really, really helpful and has continued to be helpful now, you know, 30 some years later. So
amazing. Well, thank you for sharing all this. We're excited to now continue down this path in your journey to, you know, find out more of what you're doing and talk about some of the people you're helping and how it all works. So, I mean, I know we're going to divide this show really into three different sections, right? We're going to talk a little about the career coaching to start. So let's begin there. I mean, you're looking at, and hold on. One other thing I just have to bring up is that I feel like so many people since the pandemic have like had to change careers, right? It was like a aha moment. And like, you know, and people like, how can I don't know my other talents. I don't know how, but let alone helping people along their path. Now you're also helping new people, right? I'm sure with that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's one of the things that it's the thing that's hard about making a change is people just, it's figuring out what you want to do oftentimes. Like that's the big hurdle. They know they want to make a change. They've identified they're unhappy, right? They may be, like I said, grouchy on Sundays or dreading Monday mornings or what, you know, you hear Sunday scaries, you know, all those things. But what I would see, and the reason why I do the work the way I do, is I would see this pattern. I've interviewed lots of people in my lifetime, obviously, after doing recruiting for so long. And I would interview someone and they'd look great on paper. And they would sound good, but I'd have this sneaking suspicion in the back of my head. I'm like, do they want this job? Do they know what they want? And I would see this pattern right over the years. I'm like, that's really important, right? You need to know what you want. You need to understand that, because I didn't want to hire, right? I didn't want to hire someone that wasn't going to really be happy in the job, right? Because it wasn't going to be good for them and it wasn't going to be good for the organization. So that's a lot of what I spend time doing with my clients, is helping them gain clarity around them as a whole person, meaning what do they value? What do they prefer? And making sure their career and their life match all together, so that they satisfy and match that from the job description, instead of going like, oh, well, I can do that and I can do that based off of what they see on a website. Instead, they're saying, hey, I want to do that. And that is what I figured out I want to do. And they match it to what they've figured out as the foundational pieces of themselves, as opposed to looking at it and saying, okay, that's fine. And not really figuring out what the basis of what they need and want and value are.
What are some of the assessment tools that you're working with people to figure this all out?
Sure. So I have yet to find a fancy, as I call them, assessment that I use. Mine are really fairly simple, right? I use some things that I've done myself around values, right? It's a values-based, it's about work preferences, it's about kind of how you want to show up and what skills you want to use in the workplace. And that those assessments or exercises serves as the basis for what we talk about and helps that pull it out of my clients as to, oh yeah, I didn't realize I really am not doing enough of this in my job, or I want to do more of that, or I miss doing this. And this is a gap in my happiness at work, or a gap in my skill set, those sorts of things. That's what they really get after, because a lot of the assessments that are on the marketplace, they help manage a company's talent. They tell you if they're red, green, or blue, ENF or J, things like that. But they don't help a human say, what job do I do next, right?
Yeah.
The ones that exist are more like, you should go be a welder. No offense to welding. It's a great career. Yeah. It's actually very financially viable and a really good career. But it doesn't, a lot, especially folks that are far along in their career in the professional space, it doesn't match. With those assessments don't really match with their backgrounds.
Wow. And then also, when you're career coaching someone, right? I mean, what are some of the hurdles here? What are people going through? They're, you know, they want to change. They're apprehensive. They're listening here today and they're like, well, how? You know, we're fearful. How do we get through? What are some of the first steps? And by the way, you know, I always want to point out there's great reviews. We're going to talk about some of them as well. And I want to hear about some personal stories. Taken along the journey. But yeah, someone's fearful out there. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of people that come my way, they're scared and freaked out on a couple of different levels, right? They've a lot of my clients, they've been in the same organization for a long time. And what happens, I've found, is they kind of lose their confidence, and they forget a little bit about who they are and really what they're good at, because it's just, they've just been going through the motions, right? Not really in a bad way. And it just, you kind of just, again, you find yourself in this space and you're like, how did I get here? And it's been 15 years and how did this happen?
Yeah.
So that the problem with that is that you lose yourself a little bit in that. Right. So, and if you aren't really keen on who you are, you can't sell yourself in an interview and you're not going to be successful in the job search. Right. And that is the thing that people are often scared about is I don't know how to sell myself. I'm not a salesperson. I don't know that. And I found the key to being more comfortable with that. You just got to remind yourself of who you are. And that's that front part of that work that I talked about is once you're, oh yeah, this is what I value. This is what I'm good at. And then you're like, oh yeah. And then they get a little excited and it builds their confidence. And then it feeds into the other part that they're usually freaked out about, the tactical side, meaning like, what do I put on my resume? How do I do this? What's this whole applicant tracking system? You know, what's like, how do I, like, do I talk to people? What's this, this stuff I hear about, right? All of that information then helps work through that kind of tactical side of things and feeds into what should go on their resume, how they talk about themselves in a situation like an interview or a network setting. So it all kind of feeds in together and works pretty holistically.
Wow. Thank you so much. And let's move on down. And I know besides this career coaching, there's the executive coaching. We'll move on to executive senior leaders as well. And then the navigation part. I mean, there's a lot for those people starting out in the world that are going to need some guidance. And how does this work?
it's really what I find is a lot of people just don't know how to do things. They don't know what it means to build relationships within an organization, right? They make some assumptions that their leader will put forth opportunities for them to grow, right? And the reality is we are in a world where most leaders have to work a day job, so to speak, and be leaders, right? So they don't have the same time that they used to 10, 15, 20 years ago to really just fully focus on leadership. They have to do both. So what has happened out of that is that people need to be more advocates for themselves and need to fend for themselves. And I don't mean that really as negative as it might sound, but they don't know that. And people don't talk about it very often, right? Some organizations do it better than others. But for example, if you're really looking to navigate in an organization, and what I mean by that, if you're looking to long-term stay in the organization and move around, whether that is up, over, doesn't matter. You can't just know your boss and you can't just know your coworkers. You need to know other people in the organization because that is often the key to get to a different department or another role for a couple reasons. Because the world is really who you know, and that networking thing, all that stuff that people kind of get a little nervous about. It's true, I'm sorry to say. But it really does help, right? I have a client that I've worked with for a long time, and early on, we talked about this. And you know, she's now, you know, a senior leader in the organization. And a lot of that is because of the relationships she started building early on that we talked about, and the importance of, you know, she said, do I really have to do this spa thing? I said, yes, you do. Right. You have to do this spa thing. She just doesn't like that stuff. Right. Like, it's just, she's like, I want to be home with my family. Like, no, you have to do the spa thing because it seems like it's fun, but it's really, there's a lot of work that happens underneath that. Right. Because you build relationships, you get to know someone at a different level. And that's what helps you move forward in your career, not just what you do every day. It is about the relationships and how people see you in another light beyond, you know, the report you just gave them.
Wow. Amazing. And by the way, because as you know, you've been talking and I got to research it before, I just want to say, like Colleen R says, Sarah is so insightful, supportive, and caring. You guided her through the process of a career change. She helped me overcome my fear of making changes and identifying what I valued in a future position. She has a wealth of knowledge and resources that any client would appreciate. I highly recommend Sarah for anyone looking to make changes in their life now, personally and or professionally. Do you want to comment about Colleen? Do you remember working with Colleen?
It was a long time ago. I'm like, holy cow, pulling out the oldies. No, you know, I think it brings up a thought, what it reminds me of. And I do remember Colleen, it was a long time ago, but most people come my direction and they're like, I need help with my career. And what they don't often Or what I often hear from them is they say, this was totally different than I expected, but it's totally what I needed, right? Because they don't, again, probably because of my psychology background, the way I work is you look at kind of both sides of your life and you realize you can learn things from your career and your personal life, and they do overlap, and you can take advantage of those experiences and help them propel you forward on both your career and your life. And that has often paid off with a lot of my clients, that they're like, oh yeah, I can use this at work and at home, right? In building relationships and communication and things like that, and selling yourself and being confident and things like that. So that is a lot of that theme of on both my personal life and my professional life. Most
Yeah.
of my clients, we end up doing a little bit of both.
Got it. All right. What else do you want to share? Sorry to interrupt, but I know there's going to
Oh,
be
you're
more
good.
stories as well. Continue
You're
on our
good.
path.
You're good.
And by the way,
Well,
if you are just tuning in, you need to be reminded we are talking to Moonstone Coaching and Consulting. Her name is Sarah Reed. She's working with people all over. I know you're from Wisconsin, but this is like people in different states and wait, different countries too, or is it we just
I
national?
currently work in the US. I'm not against working internationally,
Okay.
absolutely, but I am worked with people from both West Coast, East Coast, and everywhere in between. So I definitely enjoy that.
And you
And I
enjoy
think
helping people getting back to the way they should feel empowered and happy. And okay, go ahead.
and
Sorry.
aligned, right? Like
Aligned.
that's really what it
Good
is,
one. Good
right?
one. Yep.
It's really about what happens is people don't, they know they're unhappy,
Yep.
but they don't exactly always know why. And often it is because their values are too out of whack with the organization's values.
Yep.
And they just don't realize it. And so once they realize that, they're like, oh, and actually sometimes that helps them manage through being at work, that workplace longer, and being able to get through to that next space in a better headspace, because they're like, oh, I understand why I'm unhappy, and I can manage that better than just being clueless about it, if that makes sense, Jill.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. No, it does make sense. And I love the fact that you're here sharing, helping people. And I want to hear more of the stories, but we still got more time. So let's continue, darling. We still have to really kind of, move into the third part here, right? We're a
Sure.
little late. Sorry. The
You're good.
recent graduates, the students, emerging leaders, and all those. Go ahead, please, please.
Yeah, it's similar, right? So the recent graduates, it's on a similar scale. It's just at more junior level in their career, right? So again, there's certain careers when you are young, where the track is set for you, right? If you want to be a doctor, an accountant, things like that, it is clear cut and you have a path. Most careers are not like that, right? So a lot of kids get out of college and they're like, now what? And how do I do this? And I don't know. And a lot of career services are just not structured to look at students as humans. And I don't mean that negatively. They really look at through just the lens of career. And so they're like, oh, you'd be great at physical therapy. But the problem is if you want to be a physical therapist, most of those jobs make you work in a hospital setting, and then you don't work a 9 to 5. And if you
Yep.
don't want to work something outside a 9 to 5, then you that job really isn't good for you. And so what I find is most settings like that serve people, they don't look at the whole picture and they look really narrow just at career. And then that's where they get into trouble, right? I've had clients that have gone on to school and then
Oh,
they get
yeah.
there like, okay, I liked this job, but I don't like the schedule and I don't want to do this anymore. And right. And they invested all this time and money and now they're switching and they're getting a different degree because they don't want to be in that set of hours and that sort of commitment, right? So that's kind of the gap that can sometimes happen. It's those simple things that I talk about it with my daughter now. Of course, I'm mom, so she doesn't like to listen to me, right? But every once in a while, I get moments where she'll actually listen.
Gosh.
I'm like, just don't think of me like your mom for a second. People do pay me to do this, just so you know. So, but yeah, so that's really part of it's that and helping them identify the same things I'm talking about with people who are in their 50s. It's really not that much different. It's more really helping them figure out what it is they want to do, right, early on, and helping them understand it's okay if they move or they don't follow their major, and that's all right too,
Yeah.
right? And helping them at that found the with those foundational pieces about build the relationships, right? So they can save themselves a lot of time and energy, right? Like I kind of just learned that by happenstance, right? No one taught me that. So if you are in your
Yeah.
early 20s and you have And a lot of people
Right.
don't find mentors, right? Learn these, like, they're simple things, but they can have a really profound effect on
Experience. Yep.
your career and your life and your trajectory in your career, especially those simple things about here's how you operate, here's how you communicate with your boss, here's how you can get ahead faster. Because most people don't know that, and leaders aren't always good about saying, hey, don't do that. You're gonna like it's not serving you well. They just get in trouble, right? And the employee's like, if they just told me that, I wouldn't do that. I just didn't know it was a thing, right? So that's a lot of it with my more junior level kind of clients is around education and helping them understand expectations and what's important to them and what's important in the workplace.
Amazing. All right. Well, we have the 2 minutes left in the show, so we got to kind of sum it up now. Where do we want to leave off?
I think the biggest thing is trust yourself, right? And believe in yourself and listen to your gut, right? Like it's really easy to get stuck in your head spinning around. But if you feel like something isn't sitting right with you, take action around it, right? Whether it is making a job change or doing something different or saying something to your boss and speaking up. I think don't ignore that little voice in your head. That's the one that's got the power, right? And oftentimes we drown that out, and it's really the one with all the real knowledge and not the spin that often leads the way sometimes and doesn't really serve us well.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much. Pleasure getting to know you
You
and
too, Jill.
chatting. And I also like that you said, your head should not run your life or career. Your heart, soul have the real answers. That is where your power, instincts, and true knowledge lie. Make decisions from there and let your head do the work and not run the show. I just had to repeat that because that's just beautiful. She added that to her notes today. So before I got to, speak with Sarah, beautiful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, Sarah, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
How do we contact you? Tell us the website, phone number, anything about your
Absolutely,
certification.
absolutely. You can find me at moonstonecoachingandconsulting.com. You can find me on LinkedIn at Sarah Reed. You can call me at 262-201-4144. Those are probably the best handles to get me. I am Moonstone Coach on Instagram, although I don't do as much on Instagram. But
Okay.
LinkedIn, my website, those are great ways to get in touch with me.
I saw lots of positive inspirational stuff on Instagram. I like those quotes. All right. Thank you so much. Pleasure getting to know you
Thanks,
today.
Jill.
Hopefully, we'll connect again soon, okay?
Sounds good.
Have
All
a
right, take
great day,
care. You
sweetheart.
too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers.
Day-to-day simple tasks can become pretty daunting.
I have to carry my chair up 2 flights of steps or have somebody do it for me.
What scares me the most is just the falling.
When I'm struggling with my house, I think, to have that one great barrier just knocked down, I mean, it's crucial.
Home for Our Troops is a wonderful nonprofit that builds a
mortgage-free, fully adaptive, handicap-accessible house.
And there's no catch.
It'll be our very first home that we've ever owned.
This is a game changer.
This is where your life begins again.
We need you to join us in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Because of you, everything's going to be okay.